Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good evening and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is our fifth show, and I have to tell you, I am so excited about how this has taken off. It's probably one of the favorite shows that I've created to do here on Blog Talk Radio. A variety of people have called in from across the globe and from a variety of art forms and even, you know, small businesses that provide services to artists. And so I want to thank everybody who has supported the show in the short time that it has been in existence. And what we do here on the Artist Roundtable is we just put it on the table. If you've got something that you want to discuss, if you've got a concern, if you've got, you know, whatever it is that you want to put on the table and just process with people of like minds, this is where you can do it. For those of you that are new to this show, the reason why I started it is I have so many sidebar conversations with artists from across the globe, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, across the United States, and even into, you know, Germany and London and all and Switzerland. And we talk about, you know, different concerns, and I thought, what better way is to bring it to the airwaves so we can incorporate so many more to get involved and to share. So this is your opportunity. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. We do have two callers on the line. Callers, if you're interested in being pulled in, just raise your hand. Press 1 so I know. Otherwise, you know, I may just pull you in anyhow and just see, you know, what's going on with you. But, again, this is where you can share your thoughts, your concerns, you know, process, network, you know, all of the above. So since nobody's raising their hand, I'm going to just check and see if by chance the callers are wanting to come on the air. All right, callers from the 760 area code, you're on the air with Lady Flava. Hello? Are you just wanting to listen? 760-705, you're on the air with Lady Flava on the Artist Roundtable. Okay, I'm going to take it that you just want to hold and listen then. All right, caller from the 250, you're on the air with Lady Flava. Are you another person that wants to just be silent? Okay, I guess so. We'll put you back on hold. So caller from the 760 and the 206, if you're wanting to come on the air and talk, please feel free to just press 1 and let me know. Okay, I guess the 760 wants to talk. Okay, 760, you're on the air with Lady Flava.
Yes, Lady Flava, how are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, it's exciting. It's a roller coaster ride nowadays. How you doing, Miss Flava?
I missed you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been out here trying to do my thing, Lady Flava. You know, I was fortunate to meet Chocolate at the International.
Oh, you met her in Atlanta?
Yeah, I met her in Atlanta, and she is wow. Man, y'all got something going on up there, and she is very humble. I mean,
very
with all
cool.
The things that she is doing, she is a very humble young lady, and she's doing it.
Yeah, she is. You know, she's making us proud up here. So I'm glad that you had the opportunity to meet her. And for everybody in listening to the show, my dear friend, Verbal Skills, is the voice that you're hearing, and he is calling in from South Carolina. Verbal, I've got another caller who's got their hands raised, so let me bring them in also. So caller from the 586 area code, you're on the air with Lady Flava and Verbal Skills.
Hey, Flava, Verbal Skills.
Hey, how
and
you
who
doing?
Is this?
How are you? Hey, this is John D. Green Sr. checking in.
Ah, yay, yay. You know, you'd think that I would have the area codes, like, memorized, huh, John?
Yeah, but you know how it is. You're a busy, busy woman.
Yeah, or I fake the funk really well, huh?
What did I miss?
Oh, no, I'm just opening up the show. On the air is Verbal Skills. He's an amazing writer and spoken word artist calling in from South Carolina. And
okay,
Verbal, you
are
on the air. You're on the air with John D. Green calling in from Detroit, Michigan.
Hey, what's up, John? How you be, man?
How are you? How are you? All's good here. All's good.
Right.
So John is an amazing singer, songwriter, musician. That I've been able to come to know and just absolutely love, you know, his flavor of music and just, you know, have a great appreciation for him as a man and a husband and a dad and all of that. He's just, like, absolutely amazing. So I'm glad to have two of my favorite men on the air with me tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, and TC's in the chat room. I'm hoping that TC may call in later on in the show. But he and I were having a conversation, you know, prior to the show. And, you know, he's kind of one of the people, for those of you that don't know, I mean, John, you know, he's one of my mentors here in Seattle. And he always, you know, keeps it real with me, and we have the hard conversations. And, you know, we were kind of talking about what does trust look like, you know, when it comes to being an artist, the people that you're involved in the industry, and, you know, people that, you know, you rely on to make your world work, you know. And then also the other thing that I kind of was bringing up is money. And that's not an easy thing to talk about when it comes to, you know, being an artist. So if I could ask both of you just to start it off, for you, Verbal, you started your art, I imagine, because of a passion that you have for words, correct?
Well, no doubt. That and the fact that I've always felt like I had something to say. Hopefully I learned how to express it in a way where people can understand what I'm trying to say. And it just blossomed into a book. Then it blossomed into two other books, and it led me into the spoken word arena, which now has led me into, you know, making a CD. So, you know, which has led me to go to, you know, conferences such as the International Soul Music Summit down in Atlanta, you know, as I was saying, where I met Chocolate and that guy, Jabril, the guitar player. Oh, my God. Hey, y'all were represented well. And, John, before you get out, contact Lady Flavor, and she'll send your information to me, man. We need to hook up because I have a Blog Talk Radio show, and Lady Flavor, you know, I don't mind promoting anybody you have on your show.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Sounds great.
Yeah,
Sounds good.
And the thing is, John, is he's got a different listenership than I do, you know, and he's out in South Carolina, so it would be great if you could connect with him. I'll definitely send you his information. So,
I will definitely connect.
Yeah, please do, because we need to get the word out about you across the globe. We're going to work real hard on that because you're deserving, just as Verbal Skills is very deserving. So, Verbal, before I go on and I ask John the same question, so when you started writing, you know, as far as an author and as far as a poet, spoken word artist. Did you ever anticipate that you would take it in a direction of wanting to make money?
Actually, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I was doing it basically as a, you know, to get my frustrations off and to express love the way that I do. And then it started coming, well, you know, everybody around me, the people were gathering me, you know, gathering around me, say, you need to make money. But, you know, I really wasn't into that. I was just trying to get the love across, and that's one of the messages that I give. But when my book came out, it took a whole new turn and perspective, because writing a book or writing poetry, what have you, is easy. Putting basically a collage together is easy. It's the marketing that is so difficult. You need to learn some marketing practices. You need to learn about how the publishing works. Because if I may, you know that, you know, these self-publishing companies, you know what they charge you for? They charge you for changing your WordPerfect files or whatever kind of documents you have into a PDF file. If you learn how to do that yourself, you'll cut out probably 80% of your costs. And then when you go to certain companies, then when you go to certain publishing companies, you need to check and see whether you continue to own the rights of those PDF files, because some companies retain those rights while you have the copyrighted material, because it's two different things. I learned a lot about marketing, and so
I'm
that's
sure
been
that
my toughest thing.
Right, and I appreciate you sharing that information, and that's one of the things that I'm hoping about this particular show, is that artists are willing to share, you know, information so that, okay, maybe somebody can learn from the experience of John D. Green, you know, or can learn from Verbal Skills, what they've gone through, if they're kind of new at it, and maybe avoid certain situations or be able to be steered in the right direction. So I appreciate you sharing that, Verbal. Now, John, I'm going to ask you the same question. As far as being a singer, songwriter, musician, did you start out, you know, saying I want to be this artist out in the spotlight, or did you start out because you just had a passion for it?
this is funny that you should ask me that, but allow me to retort. The music for me being me, a man who's been through and around many things, I consider myself, in a way, a man of war. Now, here's the irony in that. I am a man of war who's extremely sensitive, yet I could never express myself verbally in the spoken word. I could never say what's on my mind, or I'm angry, or I am hurt, or I am upset. But for some reason, and I'm a strong believer in the Almighty, I think that was my vent. I think he gave me the ability to say, okay, you won't be able to just look at someone and say, hey, man, I love you, or, you know, hold your, but I could sing about it. So that's what I did. That was my outlet, as you said earlier, Verbal. That was my vent. I could vent my frustrations that way. I could play for hours, and I knew I wouldn't hurt the piano. So I was good. And it kind of built, if you know what I'm saying, it turned into something else, because I played for days, literally. I only knew the days changed because my wife's clothes would change. That was the only clue that I had that something had changed. So for me, it was me being able to be in touch with the side of me that says, I have something to say, and I have something to say to you, but since I can't speak it to you, since I can't stand before you and say it, I can sing it to you, and hopefully you can get what I'm trying to say / sing. You know what I'm saying? So for me, in the beginning, it was just my way of expressing my emotion, and it turned into this money machine. I mean, you know, even up till recently, you know, I hadn't taken the money aspect of it serious until it started presenting itself. And I had to, of course, get serious with the business aspect of what we do. But for a lot of people, it's the passion. But, of course, there are the other ones that it was always about the money.
Right.
It was never about the passion. It was about the money. They'll turn out, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 songs a month. And one or two may be great, but it's all about that money machine. And
right.
I don't necessarily support that kind of art, but, I mean, art is art, you know. But for me, it has to be about the passion. Do you believe in what you're singing? Do you believe in what you're saying? Do you believe in what you're writing, the poetry? There's a level of believability to oneself. And for me, that's what it is, you know. No matter how harsh it is, if you believe it, then do it. But I believe strongly that you must believe. You must believe in what you're doing. And if the money comes, that's great. But for me, and just like Verbal said, it didn't start out about money. It was never about money. And sometimes I still question if it's about money, because I've gotten paid some low sums for some amazing things. And it was, for me, it was for those few minutes. That was the payment to me. It was for that few minutes. To me, is like, wow, that's riches to me. But you know, I'm one of many. The E Pluribus Unum of artists. I'm one of many artists, and we all feel different. But for me, it's about that passion, because I've done crazy things to get 3.5 minutes on the stage. But when I'm there, I'm rich, brother. I am rich. I'm a kingdom of amongst myself. So. Yeah, for me, it's the passion, Lady Flavor. It's always the passion first.
I think that...
You know what, John?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Herbal.
Oh, John.
Yeah.
I was just going to tell John, and, you know, being on stage, man, to have those many people listening and hanging on every word or every note that you sing or say, that is an incredible rush. And that's why we as artists, we cannot take that for granted, as I'm sure you don't and I don't either. So, you know, that's what it's about, man. When you have people cringing, waiting for you to, you know, come out with something next, you know, after you done hit a nice note or you done said a nice little phrase and everything, they still clamoring, wanting. Because believe it or not, people want real art form out there. They
yeah.
want real knowledge. They want real music.
You know that feeling, Verbal. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
No doubt.
That's it. Where you got them. I mean, where you heard the phrase, I could have heard a pin drop. I've been there, and recently I just did Cobo Arena. That's my hometown. It's Detroit. I did the national anthem. I was blessed with the opportunity to recompose the national anthem and sing the national anthem. I had the Army,
wow.
the Navy, and the United States Marines there. The world's strongest men, some of the best martial artists in the world. And when I turned around, when I was done, I saw tears in the eyes of Marines. This is Semper Fidelis, bro. You know what I'm saying. And it was real.
Yeah.
It was so quiet until the clap started. I thought, maybe I should get out of here. Maybe I messed this up, brother. You're right. Some of the hardest men our nation knows that fight on the front lines for us every single day. It was silence, and there were tears, and the applause was thunderous. Hmm. And I was moved beyond tears, because in that moment, it's ours. You know what I mean? For that 1 second, we have them. We can say anything, and people will listen. So why not use that opportunity to say something that's the most positive, to get the message out there that you really want them to hear? I try to never fill my space with nonsense. I try to make sure that everything I say has a profound effect. And I'm big on positivity, and I like to push that. But if I have you, I want you to come away from there thinking, I can be better, or I can help someone be better. But I never fill my spot with empty time. I make sure that when I'm done, you know I was there, and you know I had something to say. That's
Amen.
My whole focal
Amen.
Point, you know? So I'm glad to hear you know that feeling, brother, because you're right. When we got them, you know?
Well, I haven't been in a venue that big, but I've been in a venue where 200 people, after I finished speaking, whatever I was saying, it was like a 5-10 second delay.
Yeah.
And then everybody jumped up. That's one of the best feelings as an artist can have, when you hit them with something and they like, wow, I never thought about that. Oh, that's what he said? Wow. You know, and they jump. Oh, man.
Hey, did you get the back door feeling like, I wonder where the exit is, when they got real quiet?
What? Man,
okay.
I'm going to tell you, I was supposed to do two pieces, and I didn't hear any applause. So I gave the mic back to the MC and walked off, and he said, is that it? I said, I don't have nothing to say. And that's when everybody, wow.
That's nice.
You know, and I have to say this for both of you. I have a great respect and appreciation. Verbal has this absolutely amazing, humongous verbal nose that I'm limited when it comes to my vocabulary. He has got a vocabulary that just like makes me have a dictionary sitting next to me when I talk to him. But he's very kind to me because I'll say, Verbal, what does that word mean? And he'll explain it to me, you know? And with his poetry and with his writing skills, he goes in a different direction than a lot of poets and spoken word artists, share and develop because of his, vast
Lady Flavor, thank you.
I think that sometimes in conversations that Verbal and I have had, like some people don't get it because of the verbiage. And he's absolutely amazing when it comes to metaphors, in his pieces also. And then I know that with you, John, you know, with your capability of being a singer, songwriter, and musician. I mean, both of you are African American men, and I know that we've had this conversation where somebody told you weren't black enough. So I think that it's kind of interesting that your verbal has this vocabulary that a lot of people just don't get. Maybe don't have the appreciation because of the direction he goes, just like as you were speaking. And you know what? I'm going to kind of switch this up for a minute. I'm going to actually play a piece by you, John, and a piece by Verbal, just so that you kind of know the talents of each other, if you don't mind. And Verbal, okay. I'm going to play this piece because it's not a piece that I think gets played very much, but this is so intense to me. It just kind of gives a taste into where you can go. So this is 2 Minutes from Hell by Verbal Skills.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Two minutes. You thought you tasted your heart's desire, only to come away with empty images, reminders of how your discontent simmers. Disguised as an acceptance, you struggle, you fight. You're tired, cause you've done it all before. What you gonna do when you're 2 minutes away from hell? What you gonna do when you're 2 minutes away from hell? Shadows of those memories begin to chase you, tell you you are under the spell. You can't bury them deep enough, you relive them. What you gonna do when you're 2 minutes from hell? Omega Ra, come and get some of this, bro. Has the nectar of your eyes despised the visions they see? Precious things burn in a flaming fire waiting for you to scream. Tossing and turning at night, turbulence becomes the captain of your dreams. Did you foresee the dying spice of your being? No longer believing you could be free. Trusting, lasting trust, your heart's desire. You wanted love, you wanted touches. Now that seems like it asking for too much. What you gonna do when you run? What you gonna do when you're 2 minutes from hell? When you gonna run? Can you run fast enough? What you gonna do when you're 2 minutes from hell? Train for your life. Running out of space. Where is your faith? Where is your faith when you're only 2 minutes from hell? Two minutes from hell.
Okay, that was Verbal Skills with 2 minutes from hell.
Lady Flavor, I hate to interrupt, but Verbal.
Yeah.
I got to tell you this, bro. You got me asking myself, what am I going to do right now?
Huh.
All right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was deep, bro.
Really? People are afraid to play it.
Because you got to remember, the truth is terrifying, brother.
Exactly.
The truth is a terrifying fact. And I was sitting here thinking, man, I better get right with my God. Right quick, like. And I thought I was right, but it sounds like that to make you question little things. I felt that, man. I like that.
Well,
like,
thank you.
The first time I heard it was only done in two minutes.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was going to ask you that.
It was.
2 minutes.
I have
exactly
yeah,
2 minutes.
A lot into 2 minutes. Wow.
Yeah.
I see what you mean now, Lady Flavor. That brother brought both barrels, didn't he?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is,
John, that's just something so very different than I ever heard Verbal do. So the thing that I love about him is he's so diverse. I mean, he's got poetry that he does in Spanish. I mean, he has, you know, sensual pieces. He has, you know, more political pieces. I mean, he's so diverse. But when he sent me this, I was like, whoa. I'm with you, John, because it made me think, too. You know, and that's what I got out of this particular piece. So now that you heard Verbal, I'm going to play a piece of John, and I think I'm going to play Because of You.
How did I know you were going to play Because of You?
Okay, hush. Here it goes.
I do.
All right, that was Because of You by John D. Green.
Man, where's my motorcycle, man? I just want to put on motors, go put on them headphones and ride. Wow.
Hey, you love that?
That's all right.
Thank you.
That's all right. No joke. That's classic Bruce. What is his name? Bruce.
Springsteen.
Yeah. That's classic, man. With soulful voice that you have.
Yeah, thank you.
You have a very soulful voice. And another thing that I found in your singing was the clarity.
Say again?
Every word, clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, every syllable of your song, every note, it was clear, man. It was very clear. I knew what you were saying.
It's hard. It was hard to pull that off. For one, I was in love, so I kept messing it up because I could look at the person the song was about while I was making it. She was in the room. For two, I did the harmonies and the backgrounds. I did them all in the same shot. And it's easier for me to sing with other people. It's a lot harder for me to sing with myself because I'm constantly telling me, "Hey man, you're off. Hey man, you're," and it's me telling me, you know, so. And that which is pretty funny. And for three, like I said earlier, the being able to convey my feelings through, that was my "I'm happy she finally married me" song. So that was the song, Because of You. You know, I was married, I'm happy, and that's what came out. My music is all, it's like I said, it's based in emotions, all of it. And most of it is something that has to do with me, directly or indirectly. But usually all of my music is, you know, chapters from pages of my book, my life, you know. So, yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah,
well,
man, no problem.
You know,
Go ahead, lady.
The Artist Roundtable is more so for us to have discussions around, you know, who we are as business people or as artists and to share. But I just thought, you know what, I need these guys to hear each other, you know.
I'm really glad you did that because I was thoroughly impressed. That was you know, that's right up my alley, Lady Flavor. You think about something like Lost in Darkness, and then you look at that 2 minutes to Hell, and you know,
yeah.
that for me, that was perfect. That's, you know, that's peas and carrots right there.
So before we go any further, we do have another caller on the line that's been patiently waiting with their hands up. So I want to bring them in. Caller from the 217, you're on the air with John D. Green and Verbal Skills and Lady Flava.
Hey, how you doing, Flav?
Hey.
So
we got Sankara Dre Dawn on the line calling in from Illinois.
Hey,
what's up? How you doing, man?
I'm okay, Flav. I'm enjoying the show. It's
okay.
It's good.
So,
hey,
Sankara,
my brother good?
Sankara, do you know Verbal Skills?
No, I was wondering, did I know him? Because, you know, somebody else used that name for their show. I was kind of confused on that. It was like it was Verbal Ink, though. I was confused.
Oh,
I was thinking,
you're talking about Eric's show?
Yeah, so I was kind of confused for a minute, but I don't think I've checked out any of his work. You know, I've been off a point with Blog Talk for close to a year now, so I really don't
right.
know what's been going on lately.
So for both of you, Verbal Skills, do you know who Son of Man is?
Yeah, I know Son of Man. He's a friend on my Facebook. He's a pretty tight poet.
So verbal Sankara Dreadon and Son of Man make up a duo that goes by the name of Dehiman.
Is that right? I did not know that.
So Sankara is an absolutely amazing writer. And I know I unfortunately don't have anything of his to be able to play for you, and I know I wouldn't be able to get him to spit live for you. But he is an amazing way of using words to make you really think. I think that I would call you, Sankara, more of a revolutionary type poet. Would you agree?
Well, people could define it like that, but I just a lot of the root of poetry is rooted in socially conscious wordplay and even, the conversation piece. So I try to keep it at that because I have a different feeling towards hip-hop and certain negative poetry. So, you can, anything that's about change is revolutionary or transformation, so you can call it that.
Okay. So right now he is working on a script. He's in school right now for filmmaking and things, and so he's got some really exciting things going on. And I actually would say that he's a part of my family. One of these days we're going to get him out to Seattle. I call his children my grandbabies. He's more so of an age that I would say brother versus son or whatever, but yeah, I would call Sankara, a family member. But he has a very big passion to work with at-risk youth and, taking creativity, his life story and, reaching out to the youth. He has done some, speaking in different locations across the United States already, talking to youth and organizations that work with youth. And, he's working on some projects out there in Springfield, Illinois right now. So that's just to kind of give you an introduction to, who he is, since you, John, and Verbal are not familiar with him.
Not yet, anyway.
So So Sankara, let me ask you this question: When you kind of got involved with writing, did you ever anticipate that? Did you start it just because of a passion or a need to find a way of releasing, some of the feelings that you had going on inside of you?
It was more so when I first started writing. I didn't really realize the impact that how powerful words were. I ran across a little quote somewhere that words were made for three things: to save, create, and destroy. And when I read that, I started reading George Jackson's book, Soledad Brothers, and it kind of freaked me out the way this dude just used words that was in solitary confinement in prison, and basically with his words alone shook up the world. And his words alone caused his little brother and Anza Davis and get caught up in that big old controversy back in the 60s when they raided the courthouse and his brother got killed. But, even though there was incidents of a struggle at that time, but he done this just merely by certain things that he said and how he put it. So I became fascinated with how he used words and the things that he would say. And I looked at my own self in regards to his situation, being locked up at 16 years old when I was locked up at 16 years old. So it's like, it fit hand in hand. I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start writing, I fell in love with it right there.
So did you ever anticipate or is it even your goal to go in the direction of with your talents, whether it be around, spoken word, to hip-hop, to script writing and filmmaking? Is the goal now to continue taking that passion that you have for writing to making money?
Oh yeah, I mean honestly, when I came out to Seattle before and we was out there doing work, I think that we sort of rushed everything, being infants to this whole networking thing on all these different websites and things like that. I think we sort of rushed it And, you know, we were doing our show, too, the Hitman's Assassin's Lounge, you know, things like that. And we was focusing on being this, you know, this rap group, fast poetry group, you know, positive type of group, sending good messages out. But at the same time, we were catering to a lot of poverty pimps. There was a lot of people, and I don't mean no disrespect, but a lot of people, a lot of them shows that was proclaiming to be revolutionaries with their poetry and music, this and that and other, but they weren't doing no community work. So they was, you know, they more concerned about selling out a club at night, and I prefer to sell out of school or sell out of college, you know, things like that. So we had to really get focused on what are we really doing out here? You know, what is our point? You know, what are we doing? And so we, you know, basically took a break and had to get some me time and work on our, you know, family structure and things like that. So my ultimate goal now, of course, you know, we're going to still do the same thing with the poetry, son, and I'm not necessarily going to say that I want to be this phenomenal spoken word artist because I love to see mine on paper more so than I love hearing my voice recorded. You know, I like it, you know what I'm saying, but I love the paper part. But, you know, right now, as I talked to you about earlier today, Flay, what I'm doing is I'm filming a short mini movie up here in Springfield, Illinois, and hopefully that will give way to doing a sitcom similar to what they had on BET called The Wire, but it's going to be on a whole different level of just showing a lot of the negativity and things like that. I got the people lined up to try to help get it funded, so forth. So my ultimate goal is to get some stuff on the screen. My ultimate goal is to, of course, to make money, but I want to get this thing on the screen, and I want to do a lot of writing, and that's where I'm at right now. And, of course, build our whole youth program.
Right. So I was having a conversation, Sankar, I don't know if you heard this, but prior to the show I was talking on the phone to TC, and, you know, we were talking about, you know, trust. What does that look like, you know, in this industry? So, you know, I would like to ask, you know, the three of you, you know, what does trust look like, you know, for you as an artist? Why don't we start with verbal?
Wow. You know what? For me, I'm finding out that the circle that you get yourself caught up in, I mean, it's like when you're surrounding yourself with small-minded people, you tend to gravitate towards them and believe everything that they say, and they, in turn, can, you know, really do some things to your thinking and your mind. That's why now, you know, as you and I have discussed, Flavor, we, you know, my goal is to be international. You know, I want to be international. I do not want to limit myself to one specific genre or one specific type of writer. I want to write it all. I want to say it all. Because there is so many people out there who do not get the opportunity to voice themselves, and we are the masters. You know, no matter what are you doing, you know, whether you're singing, you're writing, or you're doing spoken word, and you have that commitment to it, you got to have that for it. And we'll find, especially my particular instance, that when you maintain yourself at a certain level, get the people you can trust. But if you're out there to, you know, get that facade of being something that you're really not, then you're going to run into issues and problems. I hope that makes sense.
Made perfect sense to me.
And I can appreciate what you're saying, you know, and I think that you definitely are one of those writers that needs to be known globally, you know, and take it out there. And I agree. There are some people that just, you know, say that they are supportive of what you do and who you are, and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, you know. So let me ask you the same question, John. You know, what does trust look like for you as an artist?
Wow, you know, you know me, ladies, but that's a hard question. It's hard in several ways. I mean to say, trust, you know, trust in oneself, of course, making the right decisions that affect you, your team, because some of us are aligned with teams that are not necessarily productive, and we don't know that at the time because this is a trial and error thing. If you're new to this, like some people are, we align ourselves with people that we think have our best interests in mind, and we find out, unfortunately, we find out too late that they do not. But the other aspect of the whole trust thing as a whole is we as artists, we tend to take a lot of chances because an artist that takes no chances, they don't grow. We take tremendous chances with our art. We take chances when we meet people. We take chances when we correspond with other artists about things that we do. So a lot of what we do is a chance game. So you put chance and trust together and you try to come to a common ground, which is almost impossible. So a lot of it has to do with who you align yourself with. As you already know, my circle is very small. You know, I was blessed to I encountered someone on a much larger scale, you know, Brian O'Neill. And I was able to, fortunately, the brother's an educator as well as a musician, and he was able to sit down with me. And in the old times, he was able to pull my coattails to quite a few things because, you know, there were things that I did. There were angles to this game of ours that I had never even thought of because, you know, it's so pure and clean. The music is real, and the music is like the air I breathe and blah, blah, blah. Well, in reality, there's a lot more to it than that. So trust, I mean, it has many, many faces, but ultimately it's trust in your decision. The people that you, because we make the choices. You know, no one aligns themselves with you. You allow people to align themselves with you as members of your team. Either you do or you don't. So those are all decisions based in trust. Do you trust who you align yourself with? It may be a mistake. It could go disastrously wrong. But until that happens, you don't know. If you're fortunate enough to see the signs, then that's good. But in reality, do we ever know it until it happens? So that's a hard question for me to ask.
Right. I appreciate what you shared, John, because, I mean, that's real talk right there, you know?
A lot of times
you don't know, you know, until you step out there on faith. You know, who it is that you're aligning yourself with. And, you know, Verbal knows some of my story. Sankora definitely knows some of my story. And I've stepped out there, you know, on faith, you know, a lot of times with a variety of artists from across the United States. And I've gotten burned, you know, in the end. And I've been hurt. You know, I'm a Cancer. I wear my feelings on my coat sleeve, you know, shirt sleeve, whatever it is, you know. And I was hurt. And some of the things, you know, I'm still, you know, dealing with, you know, in trying to let go, you know, of some of the things that and people that I've gotten involved with, you know. But, I mean, the reality is that one thing I've learned, you know, John and Verbal and Sankara, is, you know, I've learned to do my research a little bit more than to just go off of, you know, my emotions of what I think and feel about a situation. So, you know, I'll tell you just a quick story about Sankara Dredon. He came into my life about the end of 2007. In 2008, is that right, Sankara? 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
He and Son of Man came out to Seattle and spent a few weeks with me in my home with my family, and we from there, you know, got involved with, you know, working on Joseph's Vision, a youth organization that we were trying to work on, and then to go in the direction of you know, working on the Hitman's Project, you know, as hip-hop spoken word artists. And they had signed, you know, a record deal, you know, with a record label out in Louisville, Kentucky, you know, but... You know, I mean, there were struggles and stuff, you know, around, you know, coming together, you know, on a business level, you know, with the three of us and stuff like that, you know, which we worked through, you know, the different concerns or whatever. But even at that was like stepping out on faith. And, you know, I knew of the Hitmen from, you know, their radio shows and hearing their poetry and spoken word or whatever, you know, but I will have to say, you know, in the end here, 2-3 years later, you know, to me it's a blessing, you know, to have them in my world. And, you know, because they've taught me so much. So, Sankara, you know, answer the same question in regards to what does trust look like for you as an artist?
Well, I don't really have a lot of trust. I mean, I'm more so, you know, I don't trust a conversation. I trust actions. You know, it's that old cliche, words without deeds are shallow. And even with the deeds, you still got to be careful with that because people would involve themselves with you and show a little activity, but they still have other agendas, you know. So it's a hard thing because you never really know. Sometimes you have to go through what we have went through a couple of years ago. I mean, look, we went through Ice Age Records. I mean, we went down there, got signed, had a big signing party, did Dust and So with them, and then they turned their backs on us, you know, and started, you know, ripping other people's music off, getting sued, and it turned to a big waste of time. And a lot of that traveling and money and stuff, that was coming out of, you know, the our dime, you know what I'm saying? And you know, we got kids, other things going on in our lives, you know. It was a lot of shifty business going on with that, but it was a learning process. And sometimes you got to get scarred, you know, to make it a little bit further in what you're doing. All that, I mean, really, I'm a quit now. You know, I learned a valuable lesson and all of that. I'm good to go. But to answer your question, you know, I'm, you know, the trust factor, I don't trust no conversation. I hear a lot of conversations. I mean, pardon the expression, but motherfuckers talking they sleep. Just imagine what they say when they woke, you know. So, I mean, it's the activities that's happening, you know. I want to see what you're doing. And once I see what you're doing, and then if I can, you know, work with you, you know what I'm saying, on that, like the brother said earlier, a little bit ago, about the taking chances. You got to take chances sometime in this game. You never know who on what, you know. As far as you is concerned, babe, I know you're struggling and what you're going through. One thing I can tell you is to align yourself with people that's on the same objective, have the same objective that you have, and you got to be able to decipher that. Once you decipher that, then you'll be less emotional about a lot of stuff that people do that you disagree with. You have to align yourself with some people.
No, and I know that you're right. And I mean, and what Sankara is saying is very true. He knows me well, and, you know, my emotions, you know, get in the way of stuff because I have a tendency to always try to see the good in somebody, you know. And I'll be honest, sometimes I'm gullible and people pull the wool over my eyes. And one of the conversations that, you know, I have on a regular basis with my business partner, L.A., and Jace from Black Stacks, there's a whole bunch of people out there flapping their gums, you know. And, you know, now I'm really, really big on the research. I want to be able to Google you. I want to be able to go somewhere and find out that what you're talking about is, you know, is fact. So before I go any further, there's another caller on the line that has got their hand raised. So the caller from the 206-859, you're on the air with Sankara Dredon, John D. Green, and Verbal Skills.
Good evening. This is Thinking Caveman. How's everybody?
Hey,
TC, Thinking Caveman.
Hey, what's up, TC?
All right, now check this out, y'all. When I posed the question about trust, it was based upon this statement, and pretty much what Drake said, motherfuckers talking they sleep. So, be weary. Also, for me, it's nice for a change to be in a conversation with adults, so I can speak my mind and be absolutely 100% direct. Trust is one of those things that's kind of fleeting because people lure you in, and a lot of people haven't heard of the word Ponzi, meaning Ponzi scheme, which is the original con man of the 20th century. But people draw you in, and they tell you this wonderful story. They lead you down this rosy path, and when you get to the end, they bonk you over your head. And you get shanghaied. So trust is more an issue of that instinct. Specifically, in John Green's position, he's got a cheerleader that like I've never seen. Somebody who has no vested interest in his day-to-day life, but is really excited and animated to be on his team. Now that's blind trust. Just like in Lady Flavor's position, she has willingness to give blind trust to some people who are just saying, I'm an artist. And that's beginning to change. So we all have our own levels of what we're willing to give, but it boils down to this. It's not about what are you willing to give. It's what are you willing to do to achieve trust with someone else? So that's a key question for me these days. You know, what am I willing to do to give you my trust? And, you know, Dre, you and I, we've had some conversations, brother. You know, I'd like to think I'm on your side. I hope I am.
And well, I was about to interject for a minute and say that to put it on notice that this guy, Pastor TC, just called in. That is my teacher in my script, right? That's the whole reason why I'm actually doing it right now. And I think I'm going to put a link card hit out on you if you don't call me this week. So you can say it with you.
Hey, man, I'm so close to production right now, man. I'm in pre-production right now. So my plate is super full. But for you, man, I'll break it because every time I try to call you, we miss one another. But I don't want to eat up the show on that one. Cause,
right.
Matter of fact, do me a very kind favor. I don't care what you say, but give me a public critique of what you've read.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah,
I guess he's talking to you.
Which thing I read? I got so many things from you. What you talking about?
I sent you 150 pages, man.
Oh,
you didn't even read it.
No, I read some of it. I told you I read some of it. I didn't get a chance to read it all. I mean, I'm trapped up in a lot of things. It's 24 hours in a day. But, I mean, all your stuff that you write is realistic, man. It's a different – and I think that a lot of people should read it because I read so many things in my life, and a lot of stuff seem to be piggybacking off what they read before. So it's nothing really natural, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing different,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what I appreciate about your work. That it's something that somebody can say that I've never read this before. I've never seen this particular style, how he word things, how he put things and things like that. And that, I mean, even with the things you write to help other people, your letters and how you, you know what I'm saying, develop certain things is very interesting. How you even opened up my script, you know what I'm saying? You brought that idea to me that that's going to be my teaser, that's going to be my elevator spiel and everything because you got a unique way of putting things out.
All right, man. Thank you.
Did he get out of that one well, TC?
that was like.
Okay, I didn't read the whole thing, but let me come up with something to say.
Get out of here.
Hey, look, 150. Here, to send somebody a sample of 150 pages, that's overkill, y'all. Never do that.
Oh, I know that. I know.
I mean,
For those of you that don't know, TC is my mentor here in Seattle. He has known me for years. He knows me from Flava Coffee House. You know, he knows me back in the days of when I actually had my coffee shop. And he is an amazing businessman. He is, you know, he knows much about technology. He knows much about writing, you know, in all shapes or form, whether it be business or whether it be, you know, literary things. He presently is working on a manuscript, and he is working on a script, you know. So, I mean, he's involved in the film industry, you know, out here and just all kinds of projects. That's why he's a wealth of knowledge. So when we talk about trust, you know, because TC and I have established this relationship from years ago. I do trust him. You know, so I know that when he says something to me, he has done his research. I know that even if he makes me cry, he doesn't like me to say that, but I seem to say it every show. You know, he's made me cry, but it's because he's telling the truth, and it's something that I need to really look at. And stuff, and so I do, you know, I do trust him, you know, and the interesting thing for me in being an artist cheerleader, there are a lot of artists out there who have trusted me, you know, with sharing their art with me or trusting an opinion from me on their art, you know, just even like, you know, Verbal and I've had hours of conversations, you know, over the past, you know, a couple of years to, you know, him sharing, you know, projects and dreams and concerns, you know, of his. And, you know, even in that, I think that we all need to have somebody like that in our worlds that we can have those conversations with, and know that it's safe and know that there is a trust there, that we share amongst each other, you know, that maybe it doesn't go outside of that. You know, and again, when I started the Artist Roundtable, it was, you know, kind of stemmed from different conversations and concerns or whatever. But when I know that it's something that was shared with me in trust, that's not going to come out on the air, you know. And, you know, and it's a big responsibility to be put in that position. You know, one of the things that I have wanted to also bring up, you know, tonight, along with trust, is money, is finances. One of the things that I've noticed here in Seattle, which I imagine it happens across, you know, the United States to across the globe, is that there are people out there providing services without getting paid. You know, whether it be creating beats for a hip-hop song, to studio time, to editing, you know, work, to, you know, whatever it is, there are people out there providing services without getting paid. So in my mind, if that's taking place, then there needs to be something that's considered, you know, a trust factor, an understanding of why it is that way, whether the person feels good about the fact of getting involved in a project and knowing that they're not going to get paid, or knowing that they'll get paid on the backside, you know, or whatever. Because I think that money, unfortunately, makes this world go round. But I think at the same time, in this industry, at least I can say for Seattle, Washington, the money not being paid out to certain people has burned bridges, too. So, DC.
One of the first things that was said today was by Verbal Skills about what self-publishing companies do, turning your product into a PDF, filing the legal documents that you pay them to file to own your product. That's a very true statement. Talking about not making money here, this is a big feature for me. Something dawned on me. We have young people who don't know how to ask for the money. They don't know how. They don't know what to charge, or they are charging ridiculous numbers as if they've already won a Grammy. So there's some training there that needs to be done, and that can only be done through mentorships and, you know, be a good mentee to those around you. Verbal Skills, go ahead, man.
Well, like I was saying before, it's very, very, when you sign, you go to an author house, and I had to call out their name and their subsidiaries. In their contract, it's very important for you to know that you do not own the print files. You own the content of the work, but you don't own the print files. Subsequently, what they can do, they can stop printing your book, stop selling it for you, and you won't even know it. And then when you try to take your book elsewhere, guess what? You got to change the print files. You got to change your cover, or to a large degree, the table of contents in that. And you have to rearrange the order from what your original book was to go somewhere else and have it published by somebody else. And that is, when I found that out, was because I never had any idea about it. And what's the funny spot is when you get the copyright, it's going to have you as the sole owner, you know, as the owner, but it's going to have your publishing company as the proprietor who can sell that book, because of those PDF files. And that's why I say, software out there that costs little or nothing that can change your manuscript from a Word, you know, from any type of Word, Microsoft Word, into PDF files. Take it to these companies, you know. you can say, well, look, I don't need you to check to a PDF file. It's my work. If you want to publish it, good. I'll take it to somewhere else. You're going to say, well, no. You know, stay right here. We'll try to get some money out of you the back way. And that's another thing. It's just crazy what some of these self-published companies are doing. They are charging you, you know, to put your book up on the bookstore. You have companies, once again, like Author House, that is charging you $750. When actually, there are other companies, if you go to like a distributor, and tell them, look, I want my book to be the shelves of so-and-so, and you give them about $125, your book is going on the shelf. It's crazy, man.
Well,
and if I don't know, but... Oh.
Here's something beautiful in that aspect as well. Lady Flavor and I were talking about this about 2 weeks ago, to be exact. She turned me on to a company here in our general area that straight up point blank tells you that you can keep your product. They just want you to pay for the printing. They don't care. They don't care what you print, as long as you ain't, you know, they're coming to them with crazy stuff. They're very open. So, you know, that's one that's available. And soon, here, so that I have everyone's attention all at once, let me explain to you exactly what I am doing. I have a partial website up that's just an advertisement website called thinkingcaveman.yola.com. Yola is YOLASITE.com. And my Thinking Caveman is up there. I'm going to produce a podcast novel based upon a company called PodioBooks.com and Skatepod. I'm basically going to become a publisher. And I'm going to give artists an opportunity to come to me and say, hey, I don't have any publishing credit, and I'd like to have my stuff published. Well, what I'm going to do is, instead of putting it in print and wrapping you up so no other publisher will touch you, I'm going to do it as a audio file. You retain the rights, you retain ownership, and I will send you a check. Trust me, I got my thing ready to go. And... a year from now, I would reject my own story. And trust me, I'm serious. My story is good, but I would reject it a year from now because I'll have too many artists who are better than I am. And that's what I want. I'm not doing this for me. There's nothing in it for me, man. I need to go somewhere else. I need to get some business. But I'm doing this for other people because there's so many young writers who get shafted. I want them to get the advantages that I didn't get as a young person, and I want them to enjoy what that brings. I want them to leapfrog past me. That's one thing that old heads always make a mistake about. They always think that young dudes need to fall in behind them and follow. Nah, I want to be led by young people. I want young people to show me the right way and the right thing to do. So I'm going to give them an opportunity. And I don't care if you're a day older than me or a day younger than me. Come on, come to the party. It's free. You know, you got all these other people. Yeah, you got all these other people out here making money. Come on.
I am inclined to believe in your dream because you, my friend, bestowed upon a very trusted member of my team some information that changed the color of my world. Do you hear me?
You're welcome.
You bestowed the formula and a few other bits of very, very vital information that changed the scope of things for me.
Congratulations.
So for that, I thank you.
That is what I'm all about.
You changed the whole playing field, TC.
So with that said, there's another caller on the line with their hand up, and this is, I think, maybe one of those anonymous calls. So the caller from the 111, you're on the air with the Artist Roundtable.
Hello, Stephen. This is Sheila, Daffy Blue. How are you?
I'm very good. How about yourself, Sheila?
I'm fine. I just wanted to, well, actually I had a question and then I had, I've been really intrigued with the whole ebook phenomena because I recently got a Nook, but I think it's a really good market for artists, you know, writers to get into because that's the way it's going digitally. But I was listening to what TC, a.k.a. Thinking Caveman, was saying about his idea of, you know, putting things on audio. That's really, you know, and I wanted to ask him, okay, along with that same process, are you going to allow for e-books too? Now, most e-book readers that are out there can allow for audio. I know is about the Nook because that's what I have. But are you going to work with people who are wanting to get into a digital age with their books and, you know, with e-books too? I know that can be equivalent to a PDF file, which you're trying to get away from its print, but are you going to do that too in terms of publishing?
Okay. In my publishing scheme, and the process is a little simpler than it sounds, if I publish your book and put it in print and you get lucky and go to St. Martin's Press or Bantam or any other press, I'm not going to touch you because it's already been put into print and it's not in an anthology or a magazine. That's a disservice to you as a writer. I'll point you in the right direction to do your own ebook if you so desire. You can be very successful with that. I can show you several people who are very successful with their own ebooks. But if your talent is such that you got enough writing juice in you that you know you can break that plane one day with that first product, please don't let me hurt you. Let me help you. So to do e-books, no, I'm not headed that direction today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
No. I write, but I am not a writer. This is not for me personally. I'm just simply, you know, asking in terms of, no, because I know I'm kind of intrigued with this. This is a very ingenious idea. So basically you are going to be help publishing people who are going to have audio books or audio something, correct?
Actually, I see now that I'm not being very clear, and I apologize. The onus
okay.
is up on me.
Oh, okay.
The onus is completely up on me for this. You, in general, you the writer, you've written something you think it's great. You're peddling it around. Nobody's biting.
Mm-hmm.
You come to me. I like what you've written. Instead of me pushing you to the back of the shelf and making you wait to get published, I'm gonna have it read, clean and clear. I'm gonna produce it and publish it and put it online so it can be heard. Someone can download it to their iPod, their phone, or whatever, and listen to it in the span of a commute to work and have something good to say about you before the end of the day. And still allow you to retain all your rights, allow you to retain all your data, and still be able to say I've been published. And I understand as a consumer, that doesn't necessarily speak to you right now, but when you realize that people have got Nebula Awards, Hugo Awards, which are two key science fiction writing awards,
right.
from this format, it begins to make you wonder, is the entire industry going to lean in that direction? Because
oh yeah, okay, I see what you're saying now. I understand it totally now. Yes, I was confused. Okay, because yes, people are going that route and with the iPod and in fact, when you brought up the example of the Hugo Award science fiction, Entertainer Tyrese actually is big into. He has some graphic novels that he's doing it that are straight to the iPod, and he's doing it. You know, he has this super character or whatever superhero. You know what I'm saying? So that's
right.
What you're referring to. Oh, okay. Oh, that okay. That's good too. That's okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
now I have it clear. Yeah. No. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
And just to footnote, the African Americans within the community that are doing this is a very small group. I mean,
mm-hmm.
the process is just over 5 years old. I know 4 African-Americans who are in the process at this point. Now, 4 out of how many people got iPods is
mm-hmm.
not
I know.
Not a lot.
I, Yeah, I love my iPod. Yeah.
I'm behind times. I still have the 8-track tape player. Oh, no, maybe it's a cassette tape player.
Oh, Susan.
I don't have an iPod.
Oh.
I'm behind times.
I know. We're going to have to get you up on that because I think you really enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? Trust me. We'll talk, okay? We'll talk. And when TC was talking about podcasts, I mean, I have podcasts. Mm-hmm. I mean, my iPod. I mean, it's just a plethora of things you can do with that, Susan. Okay.
Absolutely.
Somebody, Sheila, you'll have to we'll have to talk.
I will.
So I can get brought up to speed on technology. So, but that was a good question, Sheila, because I have to say it explained it a little bit better for me too what TC was saying. But go ahead, Verbal.
Nah, TC got me interested too. You know what I'm saying? So where I sign up at? Where do I submit?
You know what, Verbal? I think out of all the authors I know, I would love to hear your voice on an audiobook.
Yeah, that
really?
Yes. You have a wonderful, wonderful voice. Do you sing, Verbal?
Well, thank you. No.
That baritone, you know what I'm talking? You know, Avery Brooks, the style of thing. He's got a beautiful voice. Avery Brooks, actor Avery Brooks. I'm just wondering. Okay.
No, now, when you catch me in the shower, I'll be jamming. But,
okay.
You know, come out the acoustics of the shower.
Somebody who's a fan of Professor Brooks. Now, that's huge.
Huh?
Hey, Avery Brooks, you're a fan of Professor Brooks?
Avery Brooks.
Professor Brooks, Avery Brooks.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say Professor. Yes, definitely, yes. I didn't hear you say Professor. Yes, I am.
Huge.
Please. Oh, you know, and, and I recently heard that he sang at the memorial for Abby Lincoln. I wish I had been there to hear him sing. Yeah. You know, her memorial recently. But, yeah. Yes, I'm very much a fan. Yes. Of his acting, singing, yes. Uh-huh.
I like his classroom work because he makes you work for your grade. He makes you dig deep for what you get.
You know, I wish I was able to have a class with him. I would have loved that, too. You know, when I was in school, if I'd gone there I would have loved to. Yeah, I've heard that about him, and that's how it should be. You know, make you work. That's right. It's how it should be. That's how you learn.
One of the other things about my podcast for the consumer that's going to be wonderful, it's the right price. It's free to the consumer.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
you can't beat that price.
So,
beat that price.
Okay. So since y'all took me off of my topic.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry.
You want me.
I mean, TC I'm a little techie nerd sometimes, and I just love this whole concept, you know, of what he was trying to say. You know,
and I'm,
even though I had it wrong, but I still liked it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad that TC brought up the subject, and Sheila, I'm glad that you called in so TC could clearly explain, you know, what he was talking about. But and now he's saying that it's free to the consumer, so that was going to be one of my questions that I wanted to ask him. But I do want to talk about the money aspect of being an artist, you know, and you know, what does that really look like? Because even like with Sheila, for those of you that don't know, she's an amazing supporter of artists and a variety of artists, from authors to poets to musicians, you know, singers, you know, and all of that. So she not only will get out there and support an artist by helping to spread the word, you know, but she will, you know, she will even purchase merchandise, you know, from artists. So she's not an artist herself, she's a fan, you know, and I met her on MySpace many years ago from just seeing her support, you know, a slew of people. So I know that when she talks about, you know, supporting the arts, she really, really honestly is doing that. But I just wanted to, you know, I just kind of wanted to address, you know, the aspect of, you know, when it comes to, you know, supporting yourself as an artist to then expecting, you know, consumers to financially support you. You know, what does that really look like in your circle of, you know, who gets paid? Is there an understanding around, you know, your team when it comes to finances or, no finances to, you know, what is it, you know, okay, I'll just put it out there. Do you have, you know, a financial foundation that you've got set aside or are building on to help you take it to the next level? So since, you know, TC wanted to take me off of my subject, TC, do you have a financial foundation that you work from? Or do you have an understanding with the artist such as, well, I'm not an artist, but do you have an understanding, like with Lady Flava, you know, on the services that you provide?
Yes, I do. And here, I'll be direct. My standard rate is $95 an hour. That is super inexpensive. When I do something for someone, I provide them with an invoice which states that they've been charged $95 an hour. Now, I can underline it and say that my services have been donated. I can backdate it and say that payment will be rendered at another time. I can't say that I am, for example, if I'm writing a grant for someone, I write myself into the grant as a payee, as a line item. So that's how I get paid for certain things that I do. And when I do things for people, just on the good tip, I make it very clear to them that, you know, that's what my rate is. So, you know, be prepared at some time in the future that we need to move this to a pay situation. I understand that's not your ability today. I point blank tell them, I understand it's not your ability today. And I've had some people, you know, tell me some stories to my face, and I've had some people be, you know, gut-wrenchingly honest, man, I can't pay you today or tomorrow or next year, but I need your help now. Help me go. And I'll do it, you know. It's hard. It's hard being an artist. It's hard getting someone to say, yeah, man, I want to hear more of what you got. So, if
okay,
that kind of answers your question, it kind of answers your question.
That did answer my question. So I guess I would ask that of anybody who would want to answer. I won't put anybody on the spot. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in conversations that I've had, you know, over the years, and mostly recently, the reason why artists have not been able to take it to the next level is because of the lack of finances. And I'm going to use the story as an example, and I hope the young man, you know, if he listens to the show, takes it just as a learning experience. One day I had posted online, you know, what do you invest in yourself as an artist? You know, and his response was that he buys himself a pair of Nikes every month. So shortly after that, I put, who would want to get into the Woodshed Studios for recording time? He said, I would love to, but I don't have the money. And I said, if you spend that Nike or the Jordan money that you spend once a month, you could get into the studio. You know, so, I mean, one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, there are things that we all spend money on that if we really could discipline ourselves, we could set aside, you know, whether it be giving up a Starbucks coffee, you know, two times a month and putting, you know, that $4 in a can, you know, each time we thought about it, but we could kind of do without and maybe make a cup at home, or if you smoke cigarettes, or if you go out and you spend money on you know, having a beer or a drink or whatever, if you could put, you know, even if it was $5 a week aside, that starts, you know, building some form of foundation, you know, to help towards maybe getting a flyer made or getting a stack of CDs so you can burn them on your home, you know, your home computer to give it, you know, give out or sell, you know, at an event or whatever. But the reality is, you know, it takes money to pay for the electricity that we use to get, you know, to charge up our cell phones, to turning on our laptops, to, you know, paying for gas, to transport ourselves, to get to different locations or whatever. And at what point do we start putting that money aside so it takes, so it does not take away from our personal living expenses? And it's one thing that I think about for my own self, you know, in what I'm doing here with Flava News. You know, because I make very little money, you know, off of what it is that I do. I'm one of those people that, you know, will provide services and not get paid. There are people that I know that do what I do and do get paid. And one of them gets paid between $500 to $2,500, you know, for some of the similar things that I do and things. And so I guess I just put that out. You know, do any of you have any form of financial foundation that you've got set aside to help yourself?
That depends on.
What did you say, St. Clara?
No, I just think it just depends on what you're into as an artist. You know, I mean, I can't speak for what everybody does. It'd be on a lot of, you know, different programs and things like that. I just think if you're doing something just for entertainment purposes, you got good music or whatever, you have to make a lot of self-sacrifices, you know what I'm saying? I mean, a lot of self-sacrifices to get that going. But if you didn't turn doing certain things like for that could benefit the community as a whole, and then it's, you know, you have to get a lot of backing from the community, you know what I'm saying, as a financial base as well. I mean, I just recently started working with a group of capital consultants up here in Springfield, Illinois, and the unique part about them is they all got master's degrees in writing grants. So they take on cases of getting people's funded nonprofits and things like that, small business loan. They take on sexual harassment cases, you know, do a lot of investigations and things like that. But being that they do the funding part of it and help you get funded, that goes a long way. You know, and I do a lot of stuff in my spare time. I volunteer myself because I'm a constructor by trade. I work with churches helping, you know, gut trailers of homeless people and things like that just to try to make connections when I need that community back, and they're going to back me when I say I need this to film in this area to do thus and so. I expect they backing because what I'm giving them in return is my time, you know. So it just depends on what you're out here doing is going to determine that. And I think a lot of community-based work, you get a lot of support, man, from the community. It's just a hard deal when you're just trying to do something just for entertainment purposes or just trying to get yourself out there. I mean, you might go for broke if you don't do it right. Right.
And also, right. Flavor, let me honestly step up and answer a real direct question for you. In order for me to fund the Morning Thief Project, I'm working dog hours in production process to get things done, and a lot of it's coming out of my pocket initially. I know that it's a 3-year ride before I see plus one penny before I go. I'm going to need community support as well. But to talk about how to start collecting money, just period, you have to draw the proverbial line in the sand and say, okay, this is what I do, this is what I charge. People are either going to say, yes, I want your product. The people that you've been dealing with for free are going to tell you that they don't want your product. Okay, it is time for you to end your business relationship with them, and it's time for them to go get what they need somewhere else.
Right.
And the next person who's giving away for free. And you'll start to notice once you separate yourself from those people who are saying free, 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 you're going to find people who understand pay, pay, pay.
Exactly. I mean, and you're right about that. You know, it's just like me, I'll just put it out there. You know, I had a goal for this year to try to create an indie artist, underground artist grant foundation. It's not something
wow.
that I've totally given up on, but it's something that I feel is just so necessary. And it's something that I feel so strongly about, that somehow I need to create a foundation for artists to be able to apply and get assistance to, you know, to have a book published, to get a book cover made, to get a CD cover made, to pay a producer to have their, you know, CD mastered, to copyright, you know. That's something I think we should talk about on a future show, copyright. You know, yeah, but
I think that's
something I have a goal and a dream to help create. So I was going around, and I'll be honest, I kind of let it slide. It worked for kind of a minute, and then I got frustrated. And I was trying to create this. If everybody in my network gave a dollar, do you know how far that could go in helping indie artists?
But then that always boiled down to what the artist is willing to do for ourselves, though, Lady Flavor. I mean, you sparked it off. We should be willing. That should be something. You know, that seems like that's a no-brainer right there. Someone comes up with the idea for you, and all we have to do is pitch in to make it happen.
Right.
You wonder why it hasn't happened already.
And I was like, okay, so I had this goal that come July 10th, I had hoped to raise $1,000 so that by my 50th birthday, I could implement this grant foundation. And mind you, I am not certified 501c3 as a nonprofit, so I pay taxes on money, you know, that I receive past a certain amount. But I had hoped to be able to start giving out at least maybe $2,500 grants, or depending on how that would look, you know, and, you know, start seeing, start helping and being instrumental in somebody's dream becoming a reality because of, you know, them not being able to go that direction because of lack of finances. And I thought, okay, all of these people that I'm trying to reach out to, you see them going to the clubs, you see they're buying new outfits, you see that they're buying alcohol, and from what, you know, my adult children are telling me, drinks are like $10 each, you know, when you go to a club, you know, and this and that. And you know that they're spending money, and all I'm asking for is for you to invest in Flava News and to invest in yourself or to invest in an artist that you believe in $1. Maybe $1 per month, you know, and so by the time that it came to my birthday celebration, you know, my birthday celebration was supposed to be an indie artist grant foundation fundraiser. I didn't get everybody wanted in free. I walked away from there with $120. I had to pay the DJ. I had to pay the venue, you know, and stuff. So honestly, I went in the hole.
Didn't people have to pay to get into that?
The unfortunate thing is people came. Okay, let me tell you what happened. And my daughter, bless her heart, right? She wasn't a strong personality to have at the door.
Oh, she let people in. Oh,
People came to the door and said, "I'm so and so." I didn't have a VIP list. I didn't have a VIP list.
Because
everybody was in the industry.
I'm sorry?
Because everyone was in the industry. It was an industry event.
It was an industry event, but there were people that came to the event that the only people that were getting in free were people that were performing on stage and anybody 13 years and under because it was an all-age event. So there were a lot of people that came through that door that were not performing and were over 13. So my birthday celebration was absolutely amazing. Don't get me wrong, because there were 18 artists that performed that night. So it was absolutely an amazing event. But it was not an event that I made money off of to build towards this grant foundation that I dreamed to create. So, you know, so it's like, you know, again, Lady Flava through Flava News wants, my goal and dream is to create a foundation to help you guys be able to, you know, pay for something to help you take, you know, your craft, your art, your talent to the next level. you know, I myself, you know, in conversations that I have with my business partner, LA, to, you know, to TC, to Sankara, to, you know, Verbal, to Jazzy, you know, whoever I talk to, I myself honestly need to create a financial foundation to work from with Flava News. Flava News has grown so much to the point that I honestly need a financial foundation to take things to the next level, whether it be, you know, to pay for a more effective and efficient website, or whether it be just ink to go into my printer to print out things, or to, you know, pay for transportation for me to get out to these meetings, you know, to meet with people or to, you know, support artists or whatever it is. And so at this point, you know, I need to stop taking my personal funds from my family and what I need to do for me personally to support what Flava News is doing. You know, so even with myself, when I pose these questions to you guys as artists, I'm posing that question to myself. You know, what can I do to start creating a financial foundation for Flava News to work from to support you? Flava News was created from a passion that I have for the arts and for artists. You know, and I have tried, you know, to attempt. I have helped two separate groups of artists financially from money that I have raised. You know, so that was a blessing. You know, but it's like I need to do more. I feel like I need to do more. I was telling TC before, you know, this show started, I feel like there's just so much inside of me that I want to do, you know, and I just don't, you know, have, you know, that capability of taking it to the next level right now because of the lack of finances, you know. So that's why I say to all of you, you know, that if there's any kind of way, any kind of way that you can start putting some type of money aside, you know, for yourselves, whether it be from the sales of a book to the sales of a CD to, you know, showcases, you know, that you are hosting, you know, try to put something away for yourself to start building that financial foundation that you know, then in the end, when something comes up, you might be able to do that project for yourself, or you won't need to seek so much financial assistance outside of yourself to get that accomplished. Does that, like, make sense, or am I just, like, carrying on?
No, I think it makes total sense, because I think there does come a time when you have to pull back and not, I mean, you have to protect yourself, too. And I think that, you know, artists, you know, going back to the story that you told about the young man in the shoes, I think that the artists have to have a dedicated ideology too. I mean, what are their and I think another the other gentleman said you need to have a sacrificial attitude. It's about what are you willing to sacrifice to achieve a goal or a dream in, you know, being an independent artist. You know, you would probably have to give up buying those shoes every month. You know what I mean? You know, yeah.
And I second that motion. You are on target. That was you couldn't have scripted a better plea for finance. That was a great pitch.
And oh, but you see, I wasn't trying. I wasn't like saying it to pitch or plead. It was just trying to, in a sense, make a point.
But in making your point, you expressed exactly what we've always talked about. You need to be able to say to the public at large, this is what I'm about. This is my reality. This is what I need. Mm-hmm. If you would have been sitting in a boardroom at Tabor and made that presentation, people would be considering how to whip out their checkbooks and trying to inspect what they expect from you in order to give it to you, because it sounds just right. I mean, think about the minuscule amount we're talking about, $1 a month. $1 a month, $12 a year out of your personal pocket per person on your mailing list makes the difference in several people's lives. Wow.
Amen.
That's gigantic. And that's
exactly. And I don't think that people really realize how far a dollar can go. You know, we're all on these social networks. You know, over $1,000 on $1,000, over 1,000 people on my Facebook, on my, you know, MySpace, on, you know, my email list is, oh, I don't know how many thousands of people are on my email list. You know, so when you think about the number of people that we're connected to, if everybody was to give a dollar, that would, you know how many people I hear from on a daily basis to a weekly basis on, you know, Flava, you're doing some amazing things. I appreciate you. I believe in you and this and that, you know, and I so love it because, you know, that's what keeps me going and that's what keeps me doing what I do for you guys. You know, but it's like, can you give a dollar? Mm-hmm. could you just give a dollar to help me grow this? If you believe in what I'm doing, can you help me grow it? Because
yes.
I'm at the point that I need to take it to the next level. All the tools that I use right now, Blog Talk right now is free. You know, my website that I have, you know, is free. You know, the social networks are free. You know, but at some point, and at this point right now, for me to be able to take this to investors, to be able to take this and create some real events and venues, to even getting on an airplane and flying somewhere to help support, because I've been asked to come to other states to put on events. You know, all of those things, you know, I mean, I should have been, you know, October last week, I should have been in Philadelphia, you know, at an event, you know, and I'm hoping to be able to attend it next year, you know, but all of these things, you know, take money, and it's like, you know, I'm at that point. I have people paying attention to what I'm doing. I have people that are wanting, you know, to see proposals, to business plans, to, you know, to different things right now, and I feel like I'm kind of stuck, and I imagine that if I, as Lady Flava, am feeling that way, that there's got to be you know, you as an artist that feel, man, if I just had this amount in money, I could do this, that, or the other. Does
Amen.
That make sense? Or
no,
Amen.
No. And may I comment as a supporter? Because I mean, there comes this certain point in time you can say, excuse me, I support you. Excuse me, I support you. You know, give a lot of lip service, but there comes a point in time when you're going to have to buy that artist CD, buy their book. You need to support them and, you know, support their product, truly support them. That means buying their product, supporting them. Support, it goes beyond just, you know, a lot of lip service, a lot of, oh, accolades and that kind of thing. You have to support them. It requires you giving them some type of monetary support in any way
exactly.
you can. If it's just for me, it's not like I'm major rich or anything like that, by no means. But I will buy your book. If I support you, if I believe in what you're doing, if I like what you're doing, you know, I'm going to buy your CD. I'm going to support your event if I'm able to get to that event. In you know, another city or whatever. I mean, those are the things that have to be done in order to keep these artists afloat.
Well, and I will have to say this. I'll admit this, and it's something that I, you know, it doesn't feel good for me to admit, but there are so many artists out there that I would love to financially support by buying their product. You know, but I'll be honest, for my own self, I don't have the means to do that. And when I do, it's like, which artist do I even pick? You know, there's
right.
so
right. yeah,
there's
yeah,
so
right.
many. So
exactly.
So my way of
exactly.
of showing support to artists is by creating, you know, the Blog Talk radio show or the newsletter or my website or, you know, hitting the share button and getting the word out. You know,
right.
but at some point,
yeah.
you know, it's just like conversations that I've had with hip-hop artists. So many have these humongous VIP guest lists where people are getting in free to their event, and these guys are putting in their heart and soul to putting on an event that they feel good about, you know, but in the end, they made no money from. So at what point can we impress upon the consumer that you're worth the $10, you know, to get into the venue to, you know, to pay to support the show?
See,
so,
now that's a hard one. You know, it's a hard one because that's on the person, the individual. They have to feel that that's the right thing to do. Yeah.
Right. So, John, what do you think about what I've been sharing?
Wow. A lot has transpired since the beginning of this, and it has changed many times. I have many thoughts on the subject, but before I share my thoughts on the subject, allow me to take this moment to say this. A while back, you presented to me a plan for your youth program, and you sent out an open call to artists of all kinds to submit a piece in support of this program. So let me use this platform to say publicly that I have aligned myself with Lady Flavor, an artist from Detroit. I've been in the studio for a week composing the perfect piece to complement your already brilliant idea. And I am urging, I am imploring all artists, spoken word, music, bring it. If you got it, present it. This is what you need. This is what we will do. Everyone that hears my voice and knows my name, I urge you to support this. Because if you think about it, this is full circle. It is for the youth that will be, and one day, where we are now, doing what we are doing. This is an encouraging move. This is positive. Now, that's something I want to be a part of. So.
Thank you. And I appreciate
you saying that publicly.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, John, because and for those of you that are unaware of this project, you can find out more at my website at flavanews.com and hit the projects and event page. I have joined hands with a youth organization out here in the Pacific Northwest that is called Unleash the Brilliance. And, you know, they're 2 years in existence. They have a contract working with the King County Truancy Courts. They give their first workshop is going to be taking place with the at-risk youth and parents or guardians of youth that are in that have been turned over and the juvenile truancy courts have been notified. So their first workshop starts on the 18th. You know, with that organization, they too, you know, are coming out of personal funds to do a lot of what it is that they're doing with the youth, but they have a passion and a belief. The unique thing with this organization and why Flavor News has gotten involved is that it is geared towards using creativity, artists, to find ways to reach the youth. And that's one of the things that I also have a dream through Flavor News is to create a youth artist mentorship program. Because unfortunately, Sankara had to get off of the line, but, you know, he is an artist that is working towards, you know, using his past experience to tell stories and to work with the youth to take it where they don't go in the direction that he did. And I feel strongly that it's okay to share this with you because it's something that he does talk about. He went in at the age of 16 into prison for the murder of a gang-related murder. He was a gang member in Chicago, and he came out at the age of 32. And he got his high school education and all of that while he was in prison. Amazing, amazing man, turned his life around. He does not want his children. He does not want another young person to go and get caught up in the lifestyle that he did as a young person, you know. And so, you know, and his story is a perfect story, and at some point he will be out here in Seattle and he will be speaking to the youth that I'm going to become affiliated with through Unleash the Brilliance. So through this program, I decided to take a project that Son of Man and Sankara Dredon and I had started to implement through Joseph Hitchin, and that is to create a chapbook that has a variety of pieces in it that range from short stories to poems to lyrics to even letters that you could write to a youth, acknowledging the struggles that they go through, to kind of helping them have hope and show them a resolve of how they can make it through this. And then I turned around and said, I'd like to put together also a CD that also, you know, is along the same lines. What I'm putting together is something that that can and will be sold, you know, to help raise money towards, you know, supporting this worthwhile cause. And I always say, you know, help support our future, our youth. And I believe through this, through a variety of artists, you know, sharing their creativity, this is one way that we can help build a foundation. Terrell, who is the founder of Unleash Their Brilliance, asked me this morning, is there a chance that we could put together like a booklet that I can start giving the youth on the 18th at the workshops of just a few of the poems that we've received? And so I've agreed that we're going to make that happen. And one of the reasons that we want to do this and give it to the youth is to let them know there are adults out there across the world that believe in them, and that through your words as artists reaching out to them, and that something might just trigger and say, you know what, I can unleash the brilliance, my brilliance. I matter. My education matters. You know, somebody in Detroit, you know, or Texas, or even London believes in me. There is a piece that I will be posting from time to time on my Facebook page, and it's going to be in my newsletter this month that's called I Believe. And it was created by two artists in London, Sophia May and Mo Rock, and they've agreed to let me use it for Unleash the Brilliance. So when you hear John mention that, that's the project that he was speaking on, that he is willing to get involved in, and I appreciate that so much, John. You just don't know what that means to me.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, so it's just things like that. I mean, I'm sorry, I kind of got on my soapbox right there, huh, as I do from time to time. But, you know, it just says, you know, that there's so many ways that we can come together and help each other. And when I brought up the money, the subject of money, because I do think that, you know, as much as we'd not like to believe, money does play a role in the success of what we do in the artist community, in one way or another. You know, again, it could be, you know, just as simple as putting gas in the car for John to go out and perform somewhere, to be able to drive his car there, to, you know, Jazzy being able to purchase a book from one of her favorite authors, you know, or jazz artists out there, a CD, you know, to the things that Patrick does for a variety of people, you know, out there in this industry. That, you know, one of the things that my mentor Anne always tells me, like, she's like, Susan, your time is worth money. You know, when I had my coffee shop, it was calculated down to everything, how much milk was used to how much, you know, beans were ground, to the cost of the cup, to the lid, to the sleeve that went on the cup, you know, all of that. And then on top of that, then you did a markup. It doesn't cost much to make, you know, a coffee drink. So if you think about what you're paying when you go to Starbucks and you pay almost $5 for a cup of coffee, oh, my God, it doesn't even cost a dollar for them to make it. You know, so, you know, but the thing is that the beauty of the Artist Roundtable, and I have to thank everybody who has supported, you know, now to the fifth show that we've done, the networking that's taking place, you know. I mean, from the very first show that John D. Green came on, you know, he connected with Chandrine, you know, in Canada, to then, you know, having an amazing interview that was posted, you know, in the Examiner up there, you know, to, you know, people connecting, you know, with PC, to, you know, Black Stacks connecting with Chameleon, you know, out in Switzerland.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some amazing, amazing connections that's taking place that's much more valuable than money, you know, but, you know, and I didn't mean to, like, really, really press, you know, that fact. So I hope I didn't make, you know, any of you uncomfortable. But I just think of something that does need to be addressed, that is important, whether it be you're networking and you're building a win-win with somebody where there is no money exchange, or at what point can you start saving some type of money towards, you know, building a little bit of a nest egg for you to work from. So I guess I rambled on, you know, a lot, and we've just got 4 minutes left in the show. So there's only John and TC and Jazzy that's left on the line. Everybody has fallen off, which is just fine. But I appreciate all of you that came out to participate in the show tonight. I so love the conversations and the sharing. TC, I appreciate you, you know, for sharing the information that you always seem to have, you know, for people, for myself. And I appreciate you for being in my life all the years that you've been involved with me through Flava Coffee House up to Flava News. John, my dear friend, you warm my heart. You just warm my heart. You know, when there's an artist out there that I think about that I want to be in your corner and just cheer you on to the end, you're one of those people. So I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. You know, I think you have an absolutely amazing wife. I think Donna is just a gem. And, you know, I thank you for the support that you give to me because, trust me, you make it worthwhile for me. Don't let me start crying here.
I believe in you and what you do. I believe
and see, I know that.
In you.
John,
and what
you just
do.
Don't know how much that means to me. You just don't know how much that honestly, honestly means to me to have people believe in me. You know, that's what keeps me going. That's what gets me up in the morning. And to Miss Jazzy Blue, you've known me a long time, too. You've known me back in the days of Flava Coffee House. And, girl, you helped me go, too. You helped me, you know. You're like my partner in crime out there, you know, in the
yeah,
Midwest.
Yeah,
you know that.
I know. Yeah.
You know, you support artists just like I do, you know. And I love seeing you around, whether it be on Blog Talk Radio shows to just supporting artists online and stuff like that. And, you know, knowing that there's somebody else that feels like I do, that we need to get the word out, that, you know, that means the world to me. You know, we've shared, you know, stories with each other on personal things to, you know, what we do as supported to the supporters to the artists. And Jazzy, please know that I value you. You know, and I value the fact and appreciate the fact that you've been coming out and supporting, you know, the Artist Roundtable, because you're not an artist, you're a fan. And so I think that you have something very, very valuable to bring, you know, to the table.
Equally
but,
important, right?
I'm sorry?
Equally important, right? Without the fans,
exactly.
My favorite saying is, without the fans, we're just playing with ourselves.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Susan, thank you so much. No, I support you. Thank you so much for your kind words. I really no, and this has been this. I enjoy this. This isn't. I mean, TC and John. I mean, it's an education. I mean, I enjoy. I'm learning a lot of things. You know, education. You know, about you know the industry and what goes into this. You know. So yes, but thank you. I appreciate you and I support you. That's why I'm still here, because I do believe in what you do. Yes,
I appreciate that, Jazzy. So with that said, you know, I want to thank everybody who came out to listen to the show live, to those that were in the chat room, you know, and to those that come back and listen to the archives. I have to tell you guys, this is one of the, what do you say, I'm at a loss of words. This show is one of the shows that gets the most archive listens that I do. So that even fuels me even more to know that all of these people are coming back in their spare time to take a listen to what we discuss, you know, in that time. So, I mean, that's just telling me that this is something that's valuable,
yeah,
and
yeah.
That we need to keep it going. So for those of you that are available, we'll be doing this next Monday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which means, what, 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time and 3, am I right? 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay. And so, you know, come back and join us if you're able to next Monday, where I'm alternating times every other Mondays to kind of open the door for those, you know, that may not be available, you know, at the different time frames. And, you know, just encourage anybody that you know to come out and check us out. I mean, even if you're a fan like Jazzy, you know, your opinion, you know, counts, because sometimes I think the fans need to tell us what we need to do to help catch their attention and you know, get their support. So, you know, John, TC, and Jazzy, thank you so much for coming and sharing this time with me and sharing your thoughts and opinions.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You wrap this up right on time. I can go watch Jeopardy.
Okay. Okay. There you go.
Good night, everybody.
If there's any football left, you can go watch football. So, thank you, and good night until we come together again on the next Artist Roundtable. Take care.
Good night, all.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Ciao.